programs. If you need the nursery will be open, but it won't be staffed, but it'll give you a place where you can come inside and change diapers and that kind of stuff. But we're going to have Gazebo Church outside next Sunday, so bring your lawn chairs, bring a blanket, and we'll have worship outside. And then the week after that is Church at the Beach, and we will be at Hamlin Beach State Park, and we are in Area 3 in Shelter 3. So if you've ever been to one of the big events that's there, or when we go to Church at the Beach, we're either in Area 1 or we're in Area 5 or we're in Area 4, and we have to hike like an hour and a half to get to the beach to do our water baptism service. We are at the shelter at the beach. So the big shelter there by on the right-hand side by the parking lot, across from the shower house, is ours for the whole day. And so if you get there before 9 o'clock, I think, yes, if you get there before 9, you can get into the park for free. If you come after 9, they'll charge you per vehicle. And if you have never been water baptized, we want to encourage you to come. And if you're going to be water baptized, try to be there by 8:30, because we'll do our water baptism class beforehand. And then worship will start at 10 o'clock. And we'll have our Church at the Beach worship experience. And then at 11 o'clock, we'll head down to the water and pray for good weather. So that we don't have another year of extreme baptism, which is a lot of fun. If you've never seen extreme baptism, we get good like 3-foot, you know, white cap waves. And so you just kind of have to pause in between the waves and then just kind of hold them there. In the name of Jesus, I baptize you. As waves crash over them. Complete immersion, where we are full, complete dunkers. We sometimes, at the lake, you get to let the lake do the work for you. So that's in 2 weeks. Please don't forget that. And then starting in July, July 19th, we've got a new life group that's going to be starting up that Gary and Mary are going to be leading. It's going to be at the Chambrys. Is that correct? It is not a senior life group. It is a multi-generational, anybody who wants to come. If you're looking to connect in a life group this summer, they're going to be going through the gifts of the Spirit, and it's going to be a great way to connect with some other people, to get to know other people, and it's going to be a great time in God's Word where you get to learn what are the gifts of the Spirit and how do they apply to your life, and what gifts of the Spirit do you have, and learning how to exercise those in a biblical way. All right? Awesome. Back one more, Bruce.
Diana, fighting does not make you a hero.
What if I promise to be careful? Just a shield, then.
Diana.
No sharp edges.
Be careful of mankind, Diana. They do not deserve you.
You've told me this story.
What is this place? Who are you people?
We are the bridge to a greater understanding.
Right.
What is your mission?
Well, here's the thing. You are in more danger than you think. The boys in the trenches called her Dr. Poison. Millions would die. The war would never end.
I'm going, Mother. If you choose to leave, you may never return. Who will I be if I stay?
We'll come.
To the war.
Well, technically the war is that way, but we gotta go this way first.
How can a woman fight in this?
Ooh. Who is this young woman?
She's my,
Diana, Princess of Simon.
Prince, Diana Prince. If you believe that this war should stop, help me stop it right now.
What are you?
You will soon find out.
Experience it in IMAX 3D June 2nd.
This morning we're continuing in our At the Movies series. And Steve, if you want to go ahead, put the cans back on and then just the bank of lights so that we've got... yeah, there you go. Awesome. Thanks. This is probably one of my favorite of the DC movies that have come out. I'm a DC fan. I'm a Batman fan, big time. And when I saw that Wonder Woman was coming out, I was like, oh, my goodness, that has to be part of our At the Movies series. And in a moment, I'm going to hand this over to Terry, and she is my Wonder Woman. I used to tease her when our kids were born because she was like this amazing... Like I watched the, you know, they have the seismograph that shows the intensity of contractions, you know, and it looked like Godzilla was destroying New York, and she was like, nope, no pain meds, no pain meds. And I'm like, what do you want, like a leather strap, a stick? She was like my Amazonian warrior princess.
I almost bit you.
All four, yeah, and then there was the one, I can't remember which kid it was. That as the contractions were hitting her, I was holding her hand and telling her that she was doing it and doing my best not to do a Bill Cosby impersonation and tell her to breathe. And all of a sudden I feel my hand being pulled across towards her mouth. She was going to bite me.
I was.
What are you doing? I think I'm going to bite you. Please don't bite me. In the story, in the Wonder Woman story, she says this powerful thing at the end, and I'm going to let Terry unpack it. But the first thing that she says, you know, there's this struggle to stay. And, you know, in the beginning portion of the story, you have this cute little girl who wants to be something more. But her mom is trying to keep her safe. Her mom is trying to keep her there. She wants her to stay. And she wants to train. She has this sense that there's more to her life. And her aunt wants to train her and help bring that out of her. And her mom wants to protect her and keep her this cute little girl. And you know, in the trailer, it's one of my favorite parts of the story when she says, what if I just use a shield? No sharp edges. Right? Because we want to protect our kids. We want to keep them safe. We want to keep them home. But that's not who we're called to be. And so she wants to launch out. And there's that one scene, too, where her mom is still trying to convince her to stay. And she says, if I stay, who will I be? Right? Because she has to become who she's supposed to be. And then at the end of the movie, she makes this statement because she's figured out who she is, and she figures out where she belongs, and she says, and now I will stay, because she's where she's supposed to be. And, you know, I think sometimes when we think about what we're supposed to be, we look around us and we see all the difficulties, we see all the things that are hard, and we want to run. We want to get out of whatever it is that's painful. We want to get out of whatever it is that's hard. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says this in verses 8 and 9. It says, we are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. And when I think about what God is doing here at LifeQuest, you know, there's lots of things that we could say, oh, it's hard. There's a lot of work that has to be done. Oh, look, these people have left, or those people have left. Maybe we should leave too. But God has called us here to this community to do one thing. He has called us here in this community to make a difference in the lives of people who are lost. It is our purpose. It is why we are here. And I know it's hard because, you know, we come in here on Sunday mornings and it's just us. And it's like, where are they? Where are the people that we're supposed to reach? But it's through things like Hullabaloo. It's through things like when we reach out at Applefest. And even more importantly, I think, it's through what God is going to do through the gate this fall and beyond, that we have been given an opportunity to make a difference in the lives of lost people, people who can't do it on their own. God is going to bring them, and we're going to have the opportunity to speak life and hope and to fight for those that can't fight for themselves. And so for those things, those are the reasons why we come. We come on Sunday morning so that we can meet with our other brothers and sisters in Christ. But God has placed us here in this community, like he said to Esther, for such a time as this, that we have an opportunity in this community to make a difference and to stay.
So it's been a busy week. And I was asking God, really, you want me to speak? This is the week when Toby was born. I thought, oh my gosh, how am I going to get through fifth grade graduation and a high school graduation all in one week? And we did it. We've done graduation parties and we've celebrated. And there was one morning I got up and I looked at Rob and I said, we get to do this three more times. And I'm like, how are we going to do this three more times? With also, I'm sure, weddings and whatever else is going to come. And Melinda and I are like, it's coming. And it's snowballing. And the momentum is here. And it's happening. And there's no stopping it. And it's exciting. And it's sad. And it's emotional. But it's wonderful at the same time. But when I said, how are we going to do this? Rob looked at me and he said, do you want to quit? And it's like, is that even an option? Can you quit in the midst of this? No. No, I can't quit as a mom. Of course not. I never would think of that. But there is that thought at times where you're like, can we just go to a deserted island and just escape it all and just be in a quiet house when there isn't fighting and there aren't kids saying, oh, by the way, I need $20 now to do this. And you're like, I don't have $20. Why did you throw this at me right now? Or can you take me so-and-so? We have a study group in 20 minutes. And you're like, could you not have told me this maybe 3 hours ago? No, they don't. They throw things at you left and right. And you're there and you're in the moment and you do what you need to do. But there is that weariness, I think, that hits all of us. And, you know, the question comes, fight. How do I fight? How do I stay in this? When it does feel like a fight, constantly fighting with the kids to get homework done and to get chores done and to do things. And, you know, even as a church family, just how do you stay in this? Serving and loving and being all that God's called us to be. So I just want to talk about a few things. There's a quote in the movie, and Rab already mentioned it, and we'll just talk about it again. Diana says, "I will fight for those who cannot fight for themselves." And I think that's the passion and the momentum, especially behind a woman. And I just want to unload that a little bit, that we are created with desire and passion, and that's what keeps the fight going in us. So if you guys would turn to Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and I'm going to read this out of the message. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. I love that. That's where the action is. Just a question. When you think of someone having their head down, what's the first thought that comes to mind? What are they doing? You can just throw things out. They're sad, okay. What are they doing? Texting. That's, and I know when the Bible was written, and obviously this is the message, and there's a little bit of liberty taken here, but how many times are we caught off in our own world? We are texting. Our heads are down. We're doing this constantly. I'm telling my kids, please put your electronic away. Please put it away. You cannot have it at the table. You cannot have it with you right now. When you go out skateboarding, do you really need it? No, you do not. When you're taking a walk on the canal, why? Why are you texting? I heard a mom, she was talking to like a 9-year-old yesterday when we were on the canal. Did you hear? Give me your phone. We're on a walk. Enjoy nature. I know, right? Why does the little guy have a phone? But I think about that, like how much is the enemy's tool simply this silly device? I know it sounds crazy, but how often are we distracted on social media? How often are we preoccupied with who's liked our comments or who's whatever, keeping up with the Joneses, all of that kind of thing, when God's saying, hello, I'm right here. I'm where the action is. I've got good things for you to do. I've got good things for you to be part of. And he longs for that. He wants us to engage. It breaks my heart. I'm at the community center, and I see moms sitting on this, and their little ones are just tugging at them, mommy, mommy, and they're desperate for mommy to pay attention to them. Moms, put it away. You don't need it on all the time. Kids, put it away. You don't need it on all the time. Nathaniel! I'm telling you, it's a constant battle. Ah! Makes me crazy. Okay, 2 Chronicles, we're going to move right in. Can't even believe that just happened. It was a setup. Okay, we'll take it. 2 Chronicles, chapter 32. And we're going to look at verses 6 through 8. And again, I'm in the message. And this is Hezekiah going into battle. Sorry, I lost my place here. Hezekiah rallied the people, saying, "Be strong, take courage. Don't be intimidated by the king of Assyria and his troops. There are more on our side than on their side. He only has a bunch of mere men. We have our God to help us and fight for us." I just love that. I think, you know, with all the transition, and I call it shifting. There's a lot of shifting right now going on. And, you know, we can get weary in it and think, oh, man, look at some of these tables are empty. And it can be like, wow, where are these people? Where did they go? And there's a sadness, I think, that hits each of us as we're watching this shift happen. And Gary says it all the time, unless the Lord builds the house, we labor in vain. And I don't know about you, but I do not want to labor here in vain. I want to see this seat filled with a lost person. and I want this one filled with a lost person. And I think about who could be here, who's coming to these seats. And that is exciting to me because God is building this house. And, you know, I think of Gideon's army, and it doesn't make sense. He started off with 32,000 men, and he said, God said, too many. We can't go to battle with this many people. And you think, really, God? You're going to take them away because we're going to battle. Don't we need more? And he cut it down to, I can't remember what the first cut was, but what he ended up with, 300 men. That was it. 32 to 300. That is very scary. Can you imagine what Gideon must have felt like? Like, God, really? What are you doing? You're taking them all away because of the way they drank out of the stream? That's just craziness. And they won the battle because it was the Lord's battle. And that's what I keep thinking about in this house. We are fighting. Of course we're fighting. But this is the Lord's battle. This is the Lord's fight. And he is building this house and equipping us for who's coming. And that's exciting, and I keep praying, God, who's our 300? What does our 300 look like? And Rob's like, wow, 300? Really? We're going to pray 300? I'm like, yes! I don't know what number that is, but 300 is what I'm praying, that he brings the 300 to this house because we want the lost saved. And so when I think of my fight here, I don't know if all of you have heard this story, but it was back... it's been over 20 years, and it was just down on Gorton Street that I was invited to a bridal shower, and it was a Jack and Jill shower, and going through the whole party, and we were having fantastic time talking, mingling, and all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit just put me in intercessory prayer, and I'm like, really, God, at this party, you're going to hit me like with this? I went in the bathroom. And I was sobbing and just crying out. And I'm like, God, bring someone to these people. And we lived in Florida, Ohio. I don't even remember. And I just kept praying, God, bring someone to them. Someone that can minister to this group of people that, you know what, you look at the outside and they looked amazing. They looked amazing. They were building homes and having babies and double income families. Everything looked happy and pleasant, and I'm like, but their soul, God, you know their soul, you know their spirit, you know where they really are. And I remember countless people knocking on the door, are you okay, are you okay? And I'm like, I am, but you're not. And I'm like, and I got out of the bathroom, and I'm like trying to, you know, put my happy face on, and my heart was just grieving. And we went back to ministry, and I think it was Ohio. And I'm like, Rob, someone has to go to Hilton. Someone has to go to Hilton. We've got to pray for someone to go and minister to those people. And it was, I don't know how many years later, here we are. And that's what I keep thinking about with these empty seats, because they're not here yet. And I keep thinking, we're not ready for them yet, but we're getting ready. God's putting his 300 in place. And we're praying, and that's where the fight is in me. And I'm passionate about it, and I'm not giving up. And every time I get a chance to rub shoulders with these wonderful people, I pray, God, whatever it takes to get them to you, let it happen. Things are happening. Hardships are happening. And Rob's done some hospital visits with some of them. And little by little, doors are opening, and conversations are happening. I don't know what God's plan is, but there's a fight in me to go after that and to believe that they're coming someday, whether it's this house or another church family. Okay, if you could turn to Psalm chapter 18, verse 35. In this one, I'm going to read in the New English Translation. I'm kind of all over the place, but that's the fun thing about being part of this Moms in Prayer group that I've been a part of. We start opening up our different versions of the Bible, and we just, someone will share their version, and another will share theirs, and then it's just like, wow, I've just had fun processing the word with friends that use different versions. So we're looking at Psalm chapter 18 in the NET, or the New English Translation, and we're looking at verse 35. I've got to scroll down to. And it says, "You give me your protective shield. Your right hand supports me. Your willingness to help enables me to prevail." And, you know, I just love this whole idea of the shield. My girlfriend got me this for Christmas. This has been one of my big verses, and we're going to refer to it later. But as I watched the movie twice, the first time I cried through the whole thing, and I said, "Rob, I've never had a movie hit me where waves of the Holy Spirit just kept coming and kept coming." And so I'm like, I got to... Jesse wanted to go see it. I'm like, I got to go again to see if that was just a fluke or if God was really ministering to me. And again, I had waves hit me. And some of the most powerful scenes, and a lot of them, are her shield. But I think about us as protectors. And when we're fighting, as the Holy Spirit uses us to fight, oftentimes it's a protective thing that we're in. There's that scene where she's got that shield. She's just going right into that village, and she's just standing there blocking. And that's all she's doing. She's blocking one thing fired after her after another. And I'll tell you guys, it's your mama. When I saw that scene, I thought, man, as a mama, that's what I do. I stand, and I am there, protecting them with my prayers. God, I wasn't going to cry. But I love the idea, too, where God is referred to time and time again in the Bible as the Ezer, E-Z-E-R. And it's the helper. And again, here he's saying, I'm going to help you. I'm here so you can prevail. And, you know, when you look at Genesis, when God created woman, he uses that word again, the helper, the helpmeet. And I love that. That's what we are together as a team. That's what Rob and I can help him at times. And you know what? There's the part in the movie, I love this, where one of the main characters, Steve, grabs this big wooden thing and he gets under it with about five other guys, and they hold up, and he yells out, "Shield," and they make this platform for Wonder Woman to really just be sprung off into the enemy's territory. And what an amazing visual. There are times where, yes, I am there as the helpmate for Rob, and I am holding up that shield, and I'm protecting, and I'm fighting. But then there's times where he's holding it up for me. And we don't think of that often as women, that God is launching us into the enemy's camp at times to fight. But he does. It's not just our guys that are fighting. Women, you're fighting too. And we need to see that the Holy Spirit uses us in amazing, powerful ways. And men, you guys show such strength when you as men can let a woman launch into greatness. And I know that could be a little intimidating. You don't want a woman to like overdo you or top you or win. But I'll tell you, that's what we're created to do. God meant for us to help each other. And it's okay that sometimes women are used. It's okay that sometimes men are used. And there's going to be different seasons for different things, and it's beautiful when we can do it together. And that's my heart for us as a church family, that we can launch each other into the enemy's camp when we need to, and support and help and be that protective shield in prayer and to fight. So now I'm going to turn to this verse, and I don't even have to look it up. This has been such a powerful verse for me. When I have a little lady that's out until 2 a.m, the Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Exodus 14:14. I never knew how hard it was going to be to raise an 18-year-old, 17-year-old, 15-year-old, 13, 11-year-old kid. And here I am. And they're amazing. And I am so thankful for the kids I have. But wow, I'll tell you, this verse has come alive this year because there are moments where I have to stand firm in knowing the truth that God is a protector of my kids, that he's going to take care of them, that he'll use all things, good and bad, no matter what, he's going to use it. That there's some versions, it says stand firm. Some say stay calm. Isn't that hard, Melinda? Where you're just, you get anxious, you know, and I keep going back to, okay, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition. And that's where I have to go. I have to stay calm and give this to the Lord. And I just think of that shield. That's what that shield is. It's standing in faith, knowing that God has them. And it's hard. And then the message, this is one of my favorites too. Instead of, what is it, be still, it says, keep your mouth shut. Yeah, that's probably something I should have in front of me constantly. Shh, Nathaniel. Yeah, it's true. But are there times where God just wants us to just be still and let him do the fight? Let him fight for the kids. Let him fight for our church. Finally, I want to look at Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to look at verse 13 through 18. And again, I'm going to be in the message. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so then when it's all over, but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in the ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up so that no one falls behind or drops out. I love this unity picture. And, you know, we talk about the armor of God, and that's what this is. I know it's a little different because we don't often read it out of the message, and that's why I chose it. But it's learning, where do we find our peace? And I have found a group of girls that are the same age I am, kids at the same, kind of going through the same type of things. I get together with those girls and we pray. That's where I find my peace. My shield, I've talked about this before, oftentimes it's my couch. My sword, we got this for Joy for graduation. My sword, it's often just when I'm walking through my day, as scripture comes to mind, as I'm at work and different things happen, and I go to different scripture verses. That's why it's so important to memorize, because sometimes we can't open up. Well, we do have our phones on us all the time, but I know at my job I can't have my phone on. So it's good to have the scripture in our heart, hidden away in our heart. But that breastplate of righteousness, how are you protecting your heart? That helmet of salvation, what are you doing? What's going in your head? What are you allowing to be in your spirit? What kind of music are you listening to? What are you putting before your eyes? That truth, keeping that truth. And that's something I think spouses, we can help each other. Friends, we can help each other, because sometimes we get lost in this world of lies. And it is. It's a world full of lies, and we need each other to say, no, what's true? My friend back there, what is true? That's her saying to me all the time. Let's look at what's true. But we've got to do that together. So my last piece of this is give. And in our culture, the mentality is selfishness, right? It's all about me. I'm going to go get my nails done. I'm going to go get a massage. I'm going to the spa. I need to go take a nap. I need to rest. Yes, I agree. We do need refreshing. We do need replenishing. And you've got to find those places. You've got to find your Sabbath. Most important, yes, Our Fridays are totally guarded. We eat whatever we want, right, Ron? He's always saying that. Don't tell me what I can and can't eat on a Friday. It's my Sabbath. So anyway, I agree. Yes, we need to take care of ourselves. And if, as moms, if you are not taking care of you, you are no good to anyone. Yes, Mama? Sleep, eating, everything. You got to take care of you or you can't take care of your family. But if we're not giving of ourselves, there's something missing. Because God made us all to be givers. It's part of who we are created to be. And Diana has a quote. You could put it up on the screen. It says, "Only love will truly save the world." And I love, I mean, it's not a Christian movie, but I love the character. I was afraid she was going to come across as a very liberal, a very liberal woman. She was not represented that way at all. It was a loving character, and it was all about others. Even when they had victories and the guys were like, "Good job, you were amazing, Diana." She's like, "We were amazing. We did this together." And she was all about love. And I think it's amazing because who is love? God is love. And love, isn't it great that this was her quote? I love that they did this and they didn't even know what they were saying. Only love will truly save the world. And His love is in you. Isn't that awesome? Whenever I go into the school, you know how the big thing is keeping God out of the school and keeping everything separated? Every time I walk in, God's here. You know, I'm like, He's here, I'm here. And that means His love is here. That's how you can go into work. When you step in the door at work, God is in this place. Love is in this house because I have God in me. Isn't that fun? I love that. Okay, cannot go through a message without a Mother Teresa quote. But this one was perfect. I had to throw it in. So it says, "I ask you one thing. Do not tire of giving, but do not give your leftovers. Give until it hurts, until you feel the pain." Giving can be painful at times. Financially, it can be hard to give. Sometimes emotionally, it can be hard to give of yourself. Sometimes spiritually, it can be hard to give. Physically, giving, doing, working, helping can be hard to give. But we are called to be givers. We're called to love others. We're called to be His hands and His feet. And it's sometimes going to be painful. But God is with you, and you are not alone. And that Ezer is there, that helper is there all the time. So I guess a lot of people have said, in fact, the last event we did, Hullabaloo, no, it wasn't, Easter Sunday, we were running around here doing pancakes and bacon and all this crazy, and someone looked at Rob and said, "Is it worth it? Is it really worth this effort? I mean, really? This is a lot of work." And I think you said, "You know what? If it's for our church family, yeah, it's worth it." Sometimes it's not going to line up, especially in today's culture, because what is it? Give me, give me, give me. I want. No, it's not how it goes. We've got to give, and He'll give to us. So I want to look at Matthew chapter 10. And again, I'm going to read out of the Message. And it says, verse 8. Okay. "Don't begin by traveling to some far-off place to convert unbelievers. And don't try to be dramatic by tackling some public enemy. Go to the lost, confused people right here in the neighborhood. Tell them that the kingdom is here. Bring health to the sick. Raise the dead. Touch the untouchables. Kick out the demons. You have been treated generously. So live generously." And I just love that this is our neighborhood. This is who God's brought us to. And we have the hullabaloo, and like Rob said, the gate is coming. And I get so excited about what God is going to do, who's going to come to the gate, what moms are going to come, what teenagers are going to be there, who's just going to wonder, what is this place? And conversations are going to happen, and we're going to be able to touch the lost. And maybe Mary and Gary are going to be able to come out there and pray, and we're going to see, you know, that's my hope, we're going to see miracles happen. We're going to see amazing things happen because that's what God has. And I think, man, how did the gate even happen? It's crazy how all of it's kind of unraveled, and connects have happened here in the community with the mayor and just all Parma Rec. And it's like God is doing this. No one, not one person can take credit. And that's how God works. He wants to be given the glory. And that's all we could say. God's doing this. We are not behind. I mean, we're in this, but we're not putting things in motion. God's like, I'm connecting you with this guy, and you're going to do this, and here you go. Hullabaloo this year, it was amazing. It was absolutely amazing to see the amount of people working together, the different churches, and how we're finally getting it. We're not trying to be against each other. We're working united as, you know, a team. So, you know that saying, to either fight or flight. And, you know, sometimes I think that weariness can hit us and you don't want to give of yourself anymore and you just want to flight. You just want to get out. I'm done. I'm not doing this anymore. And that's where we need each other, to build each other up, because there's that tendency of feeling empty. And so love on your neighbor, even in here. You know, even, yes, we want to be doing outreaches. We want to be doing things for the lost, but remember, we're a family, and we've got to share requests with each other and love on each other so that we don't want to get out. We want to stay in it. I know that I'm sharing a lot of scripture today. One more, Proverbs chapter 11, and we're going to look at verse 25 out of the Message again, and it says, "The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Those who help others are helped." And, you know, I don't know if you've noticed this in life, but when you help somebody else out when they're in need, the tendency is people will help you when you're in need. When you give to others, they're going to give back. It's just kind of how humans are. If they have had a receiving end of something, they're going to want to do the same for you. And I don't, just that whole idea of doing that for each other, being generous with what we have to give, with our time, with our resources, and just being willing to help one another. It's huge. Rob started with a quote from Diana, and I want to read it to you in closing. It kind of ties this all up together. Again, not a Christian movie, but work with me here. "I used to want to save the world, to end war and bring peace to mankind, but then I glimpsed the darkness that lives within their light. I learned that inside every one of them, there will always be both. The choice each must make for themselves, something no hero will ever defeat. And now I know that only love can truly save the world. So I stay. I fight. And I give, for the world I know can be. This is my mission now, forever." In closing, I just want to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And again, I'm going to read this out of the Message. I guess we can read it together. "Love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. Love doesn't strut, doesn't have a swelled head, doesn't force itself on others, isn't always me first, doesn't fly off the handle, doesn't keep score of the sins of others, doesn't revel when others grovel, takes pleasure in the flowering of truth, puts up with anything, trust God always, always looks for the best, never looks back, but keeps going to the end. And that sums it all up. We read this a lot at weddings, but we've said before it was really meant for the church. And we need to just stay there because it's all about loving each other. It's all about staying in this together, fighting and giving and helping each other out. So let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you that you can take a movie and use it to show the power of the Holy Spirit, to show the love that you have and that we are not alone, that you are in this. And sometimes we only need to be still or shut our mouths or just stand firm and let you do the fight. But God, you let us be part of this, and that's amazing. You're no respecter of persons, and man, we are all flawed. Even looking at that verse, man, I fly off the handle. I sin. I screw up. But God, your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness are tangible. And I thank you that you offer it to each of us. God, I thank you that fear leaves when love is here. So God, we thank you for love. And I pray a blessing over each person. And I ask, God, that you would give them what they need. If it's rest, give them rest. If they need just to learn how to use that sword, give them people to come around to teach them about the Word of God. If they need to find their place of peace, God, help them find it this week. Thank you, God, for each of our stories. Help us to stay in it. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great week.